Of going Adomi, his speech actually involved four trends, because one was loyalty to Shaul, okay, and then the other three instincts. So you see, a person can give one act of speaking, and there are four instinctual trends combined. Yeah. So that's what the Navi basically identified. But it's interesting, and I don't think it's coincidental, but that the first three civilizations that are described in the Torah, and I mentioned last week, are really those three. Because the first one, the Dor HaMabul, was really, even though the Dor HaMabul was really the Balei Basar, I mean, which was really Taiva, I mean, simply libidinous excess, but nevertheless, the Chazal say, and the Pasuk says, Latimaleo, it's Hamas. Why does it say Hamas? So what does Chazal say? Well, Nechtam Gzardinam El Alai Gezel. Gezel is aggression. Because aggression has a logical objective. You see. So you see, the first society, Lo Nechtam Dino Mela La Gezel, the first society, the Gzaradin was finally because of their aggression. And the second society, which is the Dara Flaga, was really the egomaniacal society. That was the Nasalon of Shame. That was the megalomaniacal society. So that was the second society, and the third society, which is Sdom, is the sadistic society, the vicious society. That's the vicious civilization. Those are the three first civilizations in the Torah. So I don't think it's coincidental that these three trends coincide with the Torah's description of the three evil civilizations. It's an interesting thing. So what does it show you, basically? It shows you that in Lashon Hara, really, all of man's evil instincts are combined. That's basically what it shows. Okay. So now, yeah. So what? Now the question is, you see, so it means, in Lashon Hara, it means that the individual's instinctual nature and the three evil trends that are identified by the Navi really combine and overpower the individual, and they make use of what? Make use of what? Of his intelligence. Of his intelligence. Because that's because the intelligence of man is expressed in his speech. That's precisely what? That same situation exists in one other case, in Mirma. See, in Mirma as well, Mirma means where the intelligence of the person is being subordinated to the instinctual trend. You see, what does the Targum say? Vayanu ben Yaakov es chamor es Shem beno b'mirma v'yedaber. What does the Targum say? B'chuchmasa, with chachma, because it means that the in mirma means where the intelligence of man is subordinated to the instinctual trend. That's mirma. That is the same exact thing that takes place in Lashon Hara. There's no difference. You see, there's no difference. And that explains one more thing. There's one more point that the Navi makes with regard to, and it involves Mirma also, but there's one more point the Navi makes with regard to Lashon Hara, and that Lashon Hara is really the opposite of what? Lashon Hara is the opposite of Emes. Of Emes. We're around in many places, but it's like, for instance, over here, like in Kuf Aleph. They have the element of the egos mentioned in Hay, Kufal of Hay, Atzmis Gevaya Meloshni Vasesa Re'eu, also Atzmis Gevaya Naim Rachav Levov, Einai B'ne'emne Eretz, Loshevas Imi Holech B'derach Tomim, Hu Yishoseini, Lo Yeshev B'kerv Besi Ose Remiyo Dover Shkarim. Sheker is identified with Lashon Hara, and Emes with the person that is the opposite individual of perfection. Yeah. Again, Holech tomim mufol tzedek tesvav v'dover emes buvovo lo rogal alashono. See, lo osel arei ora. So it's the contradistinction is always there. Okay, one is opposed to the other. Emes is the perfection, and lashon hara is sheker. So why is lashon that? And that's really Ramiya. Because what is Ramiya? Ramiya is sheker. A person that's a Rama, he has to be a person that loves sheker. Can't do it. If he has a distaste for sheker, he can't engage in ramos. That's why the Goyen says on by Yaakov Avinu, he says that where was Lashon over there? Where he says ulai yimusheni avi. Ulai yimusheni avi. Ulai means something that's hopeful, not pen. Why? Because he hated doing it. He had a distaste for sheker. So he was hoping that his father would discover him and he wouldn't have to go through with it. That's the lashon apostle. So a person that is a baal lashon hara is a person that is oev sheker. Yeah, but why is that? The reason is because lashon hara is the individual whose intelligence is propelled by the instincts, and the world of the instincts is the world of sheker. It means the instinct set up a world, because a person has intelligence, so he can't live without a framework. So the instincts have got to set up some kind of a framework in which they function. And the framework is a framework of sheker. So therefore, the individual who is overcome, overpowered by, and then overpowered by the instincts, has to be a baal lashon hara. He has to be, because he loves sheker, because he lives in sheker. As a matter of fact, he must hate, like the Rambam says. Rambam writes in the Maran Bruch many times. He says, I know that people will despise what I'm saying, because I uncover what they consider their hidden treasures. You see, what does he mean? He means because in order for them to survive, they have to create this false world of illusion in which they dwell. And that's the whole security. And the moment anyone pierces that, they have to hate this individual, and it's a matter of self-defense. They have to start moving to destroy that person, you see. I mean, that's really the sin of the guy towards the Jew. Because the Jew is the one that scares the guy, because he knows that for this individual, his whole belief system is nonsense. That's a dangerous kind of a thing, you see. So the only recourse they have is to physical harm. But the person that loves MS cannot live in the world of the world that the instincts maps out for the individual. You see, that's why sheker is identified with lashon hara, and MS with perfection. Always that way. Mirma is crookedness. So crookedness is sheker, and it's basically the instinctual forces using the intelligence to achieve its goal. That's mirma. No difference in terms of perfection. No difference in lashon hara and mirma. Same thing. Same imperfection. That's why they group together. Of course, in halacha they're two different institutions. There are certain features in lashon hara that don't exist in mirma. And halacha is a different kind of a system, because halacha isolates and analyzes each component. There's different components in lashon hara. Everything in our system has to be analyzed carefully in its own right. But in terms of in the sense of perfection, they're both identical. No difference. The person who is the baal lashon hara is the baal mirma, the same individual, and vice versa. You see, that's what the Navi says. Okay. Now I would just like to take up the Gemara. We didn't explain. The Gemara gives the mashal for lashon hara that says that my yitin lacha my Yosef. What's the pasuk? My yitin lacha my Yosef lashon ramiya. So the pasuk says that the Gemara darshins al piderach drush. The Gemara says that what more could you do, because God says that I created all these protections. The tongue is horizontal, and the and the lips and the teeth are protecting it, and yet the person knows Lashon Hara. So I said, what is the Marshal? The Marshal means basically what I'm saying is that there's no way to stop Lashon Hara. There is no way, no effective way to for an individual make up his mind, I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara, or I'll simply try to engage in some kind of method, no matter what method it is, or Nitzah for Musa or whatever, it basically will not really stop him from speaking Lashon Hara. No, there's no protection. So because of the fact that, as you see, Lashon Hara involves the most powerful forces. So a person who learns Sefer Musa, so he'll find a way to talk Lashon Hara. It's mutter because it isn't. He'll get around it. There are ways to get around it. But basically, it may give him a lot of guilt about it. But that doesn't stop a person. The person has a way of getting around the area, and especially in the area where an individual feels he's righteous and religious, he'll work out a way. It's L'shem Shemayim, no problem. That's what the Gemara means. There's no protection. Musa can learn Musa all he wants, it won't stop. He'll figure out a way to get around it. But then the Gemara comes back and says, so what should a person do? The same Gemara that says it's impossible to stop, the Gemara says that there is something that a person can do. So the Gemara is like this. The Gemara says, yeah. Omar, the Gemara is in the Tesvav and Beis Nechon. Omar Rabbi Chamo Bar Chanina, Mata Konoso Shel Mesaper Lashon Hara. What is a takana for a person that's Mesaper Lashon Hara? So I said at first it sounds like contradiction, but no. If you look carefully at the Gemara, you see the Lashon is very precise. Mata Konoso Shel Mesaper Lashon Hara. We just said that you can't stop it. That means in the given plane, in other words, if things remain the way they are, there's no way to stop it. But takanoso means, is there any change we could make that would remove the individual from that plane, and then he will be able to avoid Lashon Hara. That's ma takanoso shel mesaper Lashon Hara. It doesn't say ma yasa adam shelo yedaber Lashon Hara. That the Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara says ma takanoso. It means you must have a tikkun. Tikkun means a structure. Tikkun olam. So there must be a new structure in order to remove the individual. Otherwise, there's nothing you can do, like the Gemara says before. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, "In Talmud Chachamu, if he's a Talmud Chacham, Yasog b'Torah. He should learn Torah. Shenemar Marpe Loshon Eitz Chaim, Vein Loshon El Loshon Hara. Shenemar Chet Shachet Loshon, Vein Eitz El Torah. Shenemar Eitz Chaim Yil Machzikim Bo. Okay." Then it says, V'im Amoretzu, what if he's an Amoretz and he can't learn Torah? Yashpil Daito. Okay. Yashpil Daito. So, yeah. So he should, Yashpil Daito means that he should humble himself. He should belittle himself. He should belittle himself. All right. So the question is, I mean, why do you have these two remedies? I mean, if one remedy is enough, let's say the remedy for the Talmud Chacham is specific for Talmud Chacham, but apparently the Gemara is the remedy for the Amoretz. There's a remedy for the Amoretz. And why just mention the remedy for the Amoretz? Why do you need Talmud Torah? So the answer is based upon what we're saying. What the Gemara's answer is, the takanoso is on two levels, you see. Because really the question is, the Gemara says Yasav Batara. Right? That's the Gemara says Yasav Batara. So we just had last week, we were talking about last week. Doig Adomi. Doig Adomi is the model of the Talmud Chacham Rasha. So the Talmud Chacham Rasha, who was a Baal Lashon Hara, Kadosh Baruch Hu called him a Rasha. All this Torah, all this Chachma didn't help him, but he was a Russian Amor. So you see, a person can be Osek in Talmud Torah, and what does Doeg Adomi do? He sat and learned Torah all day. So you see, a person can be Osek in Torah all the time, and still be a Baal Lashon Hara, and still be Ein Lachel Golam Abo, and he's Nichras Menolam. So how could the Gemara give the advice that we see simply doesn't work. I mean, that's the whole Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's the model of the model of a Talmud Chacham Rosh, a Baal Lashon Hara. So you see, you can have a combination. You could be a Talmud Chacham, no Shas, no Poskim, and no everything, and he's still a Baal Lashon Hara. So apparently, the remedy at least didn't work for Doeg Adomi. I mean, that's for sure. So what's the so how can the Gemara give such advice when the Gemara makes it clear that you can have a person that's Osek and Torah Yom V'Laila and still be a Baal Lashon Hara? The two are not mutually exclusive. Okay. So what's the answer? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives the answer. That's why the Gemara in Sanhedrin adds, didn't have to say it over there, but the Gemara carefully adds that by Doeg Adomi, his limud was what's Lashon Hara? Misafa luchutz, right? Now let me just take a look. The pasuk, that's why the pasuk Vatisa brisi aleficha. Vatisa brisi aleficha means you see, you learn Torah, but it was aleficha, but it was not like Rashi says it wasn't belibcha. You see, it was not belibcha. So Vatisa brisi aleficha, yeah. I'm a like Kash Baruch Ledoy Velo Gibata Batara Lama Tesalasapa Lashon Hara. So aleficha velo belev, Rashi says velo belev, and that's why Amarab Ami ain't Tarasser shall doeg el misafa lechutz. Okay, misafa lechutz based on a pasuk. The Navi says Batisa. The Navi already identified such a character. Batisa v'risi aleficha means that the person can engage in Talmud Torah on the highest level, a masmid yom v'laila, but everything he does is aleficha, not beliva. Amazing thing. Not believable. So, yeah. So, well. But anyways, the. but the yeah, but the but yeah, I, so, but yeah. Vatisa brisa aleficha. So, what does it show you? So it shows you that when Chazal say over here in Erchen Tesvavam Abayz, where they give the recommendation Yasod Betore, it means something else. It does not mean simply to engage in learning Torah, in the act of learning Torah, Yom HaLaila. Because if that were the case, so then how come it didn't work for Doeg Adomi? So really, you see, when Chazal give a remedy, suggest a remedy, so you have to understand what it means. You see, the problem with the Baal Lashon Hara is not that he doesn't have enough Torah. That's not his problem. It's not that he didn't learn enough. He didn't learn enough Taisvus. That's not his problem. He has nothing to do with his problem. So how does Yasog B'Torah help? You see, and again, some people have the opinion. It's like a simple thing. If you're involved in learning Torah, you want to talk Lashon Hara. You know? A simplistic notion, but that's really like a notion of a tippish. And you see, the biggest raya is Doeg Adomi, right there. Yeah. But the answer is, what Chazal are saying is that there's something that the remedy can be found through the vehicle of Torah. In other words, it's not that Torah is the remedy. It's that if you're looking for the remedy, there's a vehicle which will access this remedy. You understand what I'm saying? So Yasok B'Torah is not to be understood simply that it's the performance is a remedy. So now it's magically, if you learn Torah, you're going to be removed from Lashon Hara. That's not true. Both can go together very well. But it means that through Torah, you can reach a state. That's Ma'al Takanaso. And that state that you reach, you will be devoid from Lashon Hara. You see. So what is this? What does the Torah do? What does the Torah do? What it means is that the individual is engaged in the instinctual. You see, now the instinctual is always involved with man. No matter how you turn it, he's always involved with man. So with man, it means he's in the world of the competitive. He's involved in the world of the emotions are always attached to somebody, some people. They don't attach themselves to trees. See? It attaches itself to other human beings. So it means that as long as the individual is involved in that world, there's no way he can escape Reinhardt. Can't escape. The only way he can escape it is if his mind is involved in Chachma, and the Chachma takes him into a different sphere, a different existence, an existence where his energy is directed towards things that on the contrary make his own existence seem very insignificant, because that which he is engaged in is something which is awesome and great and engaging, and the mundane world, the world of people essentially, is meaningless to him, has a different kind of a value. It's a qualitatively differentiated type of way of looking at another human being. It may appear that this individual is the same, but in his mind, and that's where change really is, in the mind, everything is different. A different kind of a sphere. So basically what Chazal is saying is that the only way, the takana for the individual is for the person to be involved in the world of Chachma, and the world of Chachma is essentially really the world of God, the source of Chachma. Emes, Shem Elokim Emes. That means the world of reality. And the reality of all realities is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything emanates from Him. So it means that the individual, but how does an individual get to that world? How does he get to that world? Torah. Torah does not mean simply Shnayim Ochos Metalos. But Torah means Torah B'Shlei Musa. Means all the ideas of Torah. From Bereshis to Leinei Kol Yisrael is more than just Halacha. There's Halacha, but the Halacha, there's a structure which the Halacha fits into. That's why Chazal say that the Havayis Abayev Rava is Dover Katan, but there's Dover Gadol, something which is greater and beyond. And even though an individual may not be able to be in the world of Dover Gadol, but besides that, there's the world. There are many worlds in Torah. The world, the derech haTorah, the way of perfection, knowledge of the midos. The knowledge of basically everything that man has to have knowledge of. So the world of Torah, Yasok b'Torah, doesn't mean simply on a blot of Gemara that's dealing with Shnayim Ochos Metalos. Not that that isn't a part of it either. That's a very significant part as well. But it is not to the exclusion of Sefer Kehelas and Mishle and Iyuv and all the parts of the Torah that deal with the accounts of that took place in the Midbar and Avraham Avinu and Kol HaTorah Kula. Kol HaTorah Kula is different than just isolating one part of Torah and saying this is Torah. That's a big mistake. You have to look at Torah the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. And then the Sefer Torah is a very full Sefer. It's not limited to Mishpatim. Vela Mishpatim is a part of it, but it's a part. But to say that that's what Kol HaTorah Kula is a very serious error. So when it says Yasek B'Torah, it means Bishlei Musa. Yasek B'Torah means the whole Torah. Chazal didn't have an idea of a dissected Torah. Many people, some people came along and they decided this is Torah. This is not. This is not important. Navi is not important. Learn Navi. That's nothing. That's insignificant. The Navi Torah is important. I think it's not important. So that type of thinking. I mean, that type of thinking is not what Chazal never thought that way. You see, Chazal is moly filled with Darshan Psukim from Tehillim, from Mishle, from Kehelas, from Navi, and they're very meticulous and they. And they spend many dafim that deal with the ideas that emanate from these sources, and to negate that and just say that I'm just going to learn a Taisvis and Gittin, I mean that's not what Torah is. Yasog b'Torah means Bishlei Musa. Torah Bishlei Musa, just the way it was given. And Torah Bishlei Musa involves limud concerning perfection, and eventually it leads a person to be omed lifnei Hashem, and that's a certain state of existence. a certain state of existence. And that is the takana, that's the true takana. That's where all the energies of all the instincts are directed to a different world. Then Lashon Hara is impossible. Lashon Hara has no attraction. And Lashon Hara has no attraction. You'll ask me, but Miriam Anafio was certainly in that world and she spoke Lashon Hara. So I said last week, there's a difference between a person who spoke Lashon Hara or a person who's a Baal Lashon Hara. A Baal Lashon Hara means that is the nature of the individual. The individual thrives on Lashon Hara. And even if the person should try to prevent themselves from talking Lashon Hara, if they desire to talk Lashon Hara, so then they're also a Baal Lashon Hara. But it's the same thing. It's just momentarily they control themselves. It's good. I'm not underestimating that. It's good. It's a level. But that's not really what Chazal are talking about. Chazal are talking about the individual who is removed from the world, from the world of Lashon Hara, which means the person that is in the world of Emes. That's the contrast between Emes and between Sheker, the world of Sheker and the world of Emes. The world of Sheker is the world that's described by the emotions, and the world of Emes is the world that's described by the mind. And that basically leads to an interesting idea. And that is that if someone would ask you to say in one sentence what it means, Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, could you in one sentence simplify, in one sentence, what was the message of Avram Avinu to the world? What was his message? How would you, briefly, give a synopsis of what is, of course, it's endless, but it doesn't mean that you can't describe it. You can offer a heading. What would the heading be for Avram Avinu's discovery? Avram Avinu had a great discovery. How would you put it? What Avram Avinu told us one thing, and that is that all good emanates from the true idea of God, and all evil emanates from the false idea of God. That's basically what I thought. The only good can be from the true idea of God. And the false idea of God will always result in evil. It's impossible otherwise. You see. I'll say both ways. Kol amoda b'avodah zarah, kilu kafa b'chol atar kula. That means, kol atar kula, means you're talking about the basic foundation of al Torah. It doesn't mean, that's the only way it makes sense. It wasn't kafa b'chol atar kula. All right, just go. So that's one thing. He can be mother of a zara, and then he believes in the mitzvah. It's kafah chalter kulos. The whole basis, the whole foundation is gone, and vice versa. That kol hakofer b'avodah zarah ki lumode b'chalter kulos. Why do they have to say it the other way? The first way seems enough. What do you have to have the converse for? But the answer is, if it would say it the first way, it would mean that the two cannot coexist. That's all it would mean. You see. But then they say kol hakofer b'avodah zarah ki lumode b'chalat har kula. It means not only can the two not coexist, but the opposites are that they're absolute opposites. And when you move away from one, you're moving towards the other. You see, when in your motion away from avodah zarah, you're moving towards God. And on the contrary, in moving away from God, you're moving towards avodah zarah. That's what it's both ways, because that is the perfection. It's not simply that it can't. Sometimes you have two things can't coexist. It doesn't mean that they're opposite poles, you see. So that's what Chazal said. So why is that so? That was the message of Avraham Avinu. Socrates' message was different. Socrates' message was that ethics without knowledge is worthless. But Avraham Avinu's message was different. It was a different message. It was a message that everything good is based upon the true idea of God. And everything evil, just the opposite. Why is it so? Why does it have to be so? See, that's a wrong thing at all. Why must it be so? That's the question. Hey, why can't you have a good people and our society certainly is so? He worships a tree, but he's a nice person. He's not harming anybody.
What?
It means like this. Immediately, see, what we're saying in Lashon Hara is that there are two worlds. There is one world that is described by the emotions, because the emotions have to live in the world, have to have a framework, can't live in a vacuum with nothing. So the world, there is a world that's described by the emotions. It means if an individual projects onto reality a God, which does not exist, so where does this come from? It comes from his own egomania. You see, it must. It doesn't exist. So where did it come from? So it means it's a projection onto reality of his own egocentricity. Because he wants to control, so therefore he projects a God of his liking, and he worships it, and he convinces himself that this is going to help him. So basically, intrinsically, it means that the individual has simply taken his own egocentricity and projected it onto reality. Is there any chance that that could be good? It's impossible. It's essentially laden with evil. Okay? The true God is the God that the individual arrives at through what? Through mind, through chachma. That's a different thing completely. That God, the individual, feels the opposite, in the opposite manner. Because the recognition through his intelligence and through his mind of the source of all chachma is something which is the opposite. It makes him feel insignificant, you see. And that's why the Torah records that Avraham Avinu, when he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he say? V'anochi afaveh. It means that idea, which is based on the pursuit of Chochma, makes a person feel very insignificant. V'anochi results in v'anochi afaveh. It's two diametrically opposed phenomena. So basically, when the individual, and that's why Chazal don't just carelessly say that a person who speaks Lashon Hara is Oved Avodah Zarah. Oved Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says. Why is he identified with the Oved Avodah Zarah? Same process. He's in the same process. So the technical Avera of Avodah Zarah he didn't perform. But the imperfection of Avodah Zarah, same imperfection. Yeah. So that's why the Gemara gives the advice for the Talmud Chacham first. But of course, if the Talmud Chacham just engages in Torah minasofa lechutz, what does it mean? That means that the learning of the Torah is driven by the instinctual. On the contrary, that he hasn't abandoned the world of man, but the Torah is a medium and a vehicle to give the individual significance and importance in the world of man. If that's the case, he's the same Baal Lashon Hara. There's no difference. He has not gone anywhere. No matter how much he's learned, he's in the camp of Doi Gadoni. So the Chazal recognized, the Navi recognized. Well, what's the pasuk? Atisa brisi aleficha. That's what the Navi identified. There is an individual who could be in the world of Torah, and yet the fuel is simply the same fuel as being in another world, being in the world of whatever is his own importance. So whatever mode he chooses, you see, that's what Chazal is saying. So that's why the Gemara says Ma'u Takanasa Yasav B'Torah. It means that it's not the act of learning Torah which does it. But the system of Torah is the system through which he can gain access to a different world, the world of Emes, as opposed to the world of Sheker, where then he's completely removed from Lashon Hara. That's basically what Chazal said. That's the first remedy. That's the real remedy. Yeah. But Chazal was saying, Yelomed Lekanta, Yelomed Lekanta, same thing. That's correct. Yelomed Lekanta. That's Yelomed Lekanta. The Gemara says, is mutav shenepach shel yosef upon it. Better he should not have existed. Why? Because this person is a Russia. That's Doi Gadomi. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, Doi Gadomi was better. Doi Gadomi was, he only spoke Lashon Hara because of his loyalty to Shaul. As we said last week, he was caught in front of the king, so he answered. He didn't want to do it initially. He wasn't a mean person. And he knew it was wrong, but he was caught in that situation. So he wasn't just a... He wasn't even Lakanta. I mean, Lakanta is the guy intentionally. That's his purpose. But he's trying to destroy somebody. But Dorga Domi wasn't even that way. I mean, he only gave in because of Shaul and because of the situation and because of the he felt and also it was a situation of a Karsa Tov over there. Because Shaul took out the Shtachov. He said, "Does anybody else do this for you? What did I do for you? So why don't you help me?" So it was a matter of an emotion of Akaras HaTov. I mean, it was the wrong thing to be Makatava like that. But it was, that's a powerful emotion also, very powerful emotion. A person doesn't just have bad emotions, but good emotions too. It was good emotions that led him to do this. And he never would have done it if it weren't for those particular emotions. And Navi, the way he describes it, makes it very clear that he was caught in a trap. He didn't just talk Lashon Hara. So, but in spite of that, because also he was a Baal Lashon Hara, otherwise he wouldn't have done it. So that's the first solution. That's the first solution. Then you have the second solution. The second solution is for the Am Haaretz. What does the Am Haaretz do? He can't enter that world. I mean, he just doesn't have any access to that world. He can't do it. He doesn't know what it is. There's no idea. Okay? So whatever idea he has about it is wrong. So Chazal say, no, Yashpil Daito. Yeah, they're not going to mention something. There's a Chazal, the Gemara says, and the Rambam, the Gemara says that a person, that Lila Ril or Nivra Lila Ul Tara. But that Lila really is for learning. And the Rambam says, in Hilchas Tamat Torah, what does the Rambam say? In Perek Dalet, he says, Hilchas Tamat Torah, what? Perek Dalet. Just a second. Now, I'm sorry, Perek Gimel, Lachi Yid Gimel. Afal Pi, Shem Mitzvah Lumad Bayom Ubalaylo, Ein Adam Lomeid Rov Chachmaso Ela Balaylo. Lefichach, Misha Rotzel Liskos Bekeser HaTorah, Yizor b'chol leilosa, v'lo yover afilu echad mehen b'shino v'achilu shsiya v'sichor v'gertzman, ella b'talmud Torah v'duri chachma. Amru chachonim, ein rino shel Torah, ella balayla, shenem akumi roni balayla, rino shira, interesting. V'chol ha'oseik b'atora balayla, chut shel chesed nimshach olav bayom. That's the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Shenem Avodah Zarah Gemara Beis. Shenem ha'yomom yitzavar Hashem chazdo, u'balayla, Shiro imi tfilo lekel chayoi. It's an interesting thing. The Ram quoted the whole pasuk. You think the Ram is going to stop? Shenem yomom yitzavad Hashem chazdo ubalaylo shiro imi. That's enough. No, he says tfilo lekel chayoi. So why does he bring the whole pasuk? And the pasuk, there's a question on the pasuk. That pasuk is not talking about Torah. It says ubalaylo shiro imi. So shiro is shiro. And the Ram quotes kumi roni balaylo. Why is that Torah? It's Rina. And then he brings in Tfilah also. Because the answer is, because over here the Rambam's not talking about the intellectual act of Torah alone. Over here the Rambam's talking about the perfection of Torah. The perfection of Torah is Rina. It's Shiro. It means where the person's emotions, Shiro means where the person's emotions are lined up with reality. That's Rina and that's Shiro. And that's why he says... And that's why he says, Yomom Yitzavah Hashem Chazdo. So the Gemara says, who does God Mitzavah Chazdo is Chesed for? Whoever Balayla Shiro Imi. So it means that the Shiro is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Balayla. It means to say, Shiro means that the Torah, as we mentioned before, as a vehicle of perfection. Not simply the act of learning. That's only Balayla. And then he says, Tefillah Kel Chayoi. Why Tefillah Kel Chayoi? Means it is the perfection of Tefillah. Because it brings him Lefnei Hashem, Omid Lefnei Ad Hashem. That's really that's the state of perfection. So, Ubalayla Shiro Imi. So what do you see? Why is nighttime the time? Because what's the difference between the night and the day, really? There's a psychological difference. Chazal are very sensitive to human psychology. There's a difference. A person feels different at night. Not the same individual. Why? At nighttime, what does a person feel? Loneliness. A person who's alone The nights are much harder than the day. Daytime, you get through. Nighttime is hard, because nighttime is when a person is lonely. Because at nighttime, the darkness closes in, and he feels lonely. He feels lonely, and it goes back to the person's early life as a child and an infant. And nighttime is where the child doesn't have the parent, doesn't see the parent. So nighttime is a time where a person is alone, feels loneliness, and that is because the perfection of Torah is when the person is in a state of being alone, away from other people, with the thought patterns of an individual vis-a-vis that include other people are always the instinctual thought patterns. The thought patterns that are away from people are the thought patterns of Chachma and Emes. And that's why Balayla, he's away. It's a different state. He's only with God. Balayla Shiroimi. It's a different state. That's the state of perfection. Okay, so I'm saying this. That's why Chazal say Lo Nivra Layla L'Torah. It means to say, there's a few Lo Nivra. Some say, if Lo Nivra Layla L'Shina, Lo Nivra L'Lis, it's not a contradiction. Because it means that in the creation, there had to be programmed that this planet should have a situation of Layla. For man, it was programmed into the creation. But it depends. If the person is a fool, so then it's for sleeping. But if the person is a chacham, so it's for learning. Different. That's why it says Dovid HaMelech learned at nighttime. All day long he was busy, but at nighttime he learned. Yeah.
So?
There's Talmud Torah B'Torah's Chachma of Torah itself, but there's Talmud Torah B'Torah's Rina. Rina is a different. That's Rina and Shira. That's where the emotions line up. That's where the person is removed from the world. Yeah. No, Menasof HaLachutz. He enjoyed, on the contrary, Chazal say, he used to sit and learn at it. People saw him learning. Learning could be a great ego trip. People, what do people respect most? Intelligence. That's it. Whatever they say, respect money, but intelligence is more respect. The only thing is, if a person has money, they believe he has intelligence. Okay. I'm not saying you didn't enjoy it. You have to enjoy. A person has to have a head. A person with a mind enjoys using his mind. It's like I saw, I think it was Edgar Allan Poe one time, so I saw somewhere, he says just like, and I think it's true, it's basic psychology, but I think it was right. He says, just like a person who is muscular enjoys using the use of the muscles, gives them some enjoyment. He says, a person that has a brain, he says, a certain enjoyment in using the brain. Yeah, that's like a chess player. But he held that check as his argument was check is more Chachma than chess. But anyways, it said less complications, more Chachma. But he's right, it wasn't too bad. But the thing is, that's true. But that's still Doig Adami. I mean, he enjoys, he's a chess player. He enjoys using his brain. I mean, he enjoys using his intelligence. There is such an enjoyment. You can't be a fool and sit and learn. It's impossible. A person hates the thought process. The thought, he's not going to learn. But that has nothing to do with perfection. That's just using the brain as a function. I mean, he may enjoy that, but that has nothing to do with the search for Emes or using Chochmah to bring you into the world of Emes. That's a different process altogether. One thing has nothing to do with the other. Okay? That's why the Rambam says that the Rambam talks down about a person who spends his days in mathematical riddles. Because he says that's like he enjoys it. If it's enjoyable, it's like playing chess. He enjoys using his brain. I mean, but maybe it's a higher level than a behemoth, I would say, but that's not what Torah is, what Torah directs a person towards. Torah is something else. Yeah, different reality. Now the question is, we're up to the list. The Am Haaretz. Yeah, the Am Haaretz. The Am Haaretz is Yashpil Atzmo. Yeah, so the Gemara learns that Marpe Loshen Eitz Chaim V'Selef Bo Mishle Tesvav Pasgav. The Selef Bo Shever Beruach. Shever Beruach. So they're learning that the first part of the Pasuk is speaking about the Talmud Chacham. And the second part is talking about the Am Haaretz. The Selef Bo, Misha Soleif Bo, the Chofetz Lesiluf means like to the opposite. The Chofetz Lesalka, Shelot Tehe Bo Ode, Yishbar Ruach. Okay. Yishbaruch. So Marpe Lushan. So the first one is Eitz Chaim, and the second one is Sheva Baruch. Sheva Baruch. Okay. Yeah. So what is Sheva Baruch? Okay. So Sheva Baruch already, you can identify. I mean, you can identify something over here. How does it work? I mean, you can see a little bit how it works. What's Sheva Baruch? Because we said there are three trends in Lashon Hara. Correct? Three trends. Two, the aggressive and the vicious trend, and then you have the egomaniacal trend. So apparently Chazal held that if you remove the egoistic trend, if you remove that trend, then it's true there are three instincts, but if you impede one, the other two are going to be somehow unable or at least controllable, or at least out of commission. The other two will be out of commission. I mean, that's true. In psychology, it's true. When you have something that's multi-determined, the multi-determination causes the power and the force behind it. Therefore, if you just break one trend, so then you could stop it. You could break it. It's very hard to break something that has a coalescence of several instincts. Very hard. That's what's tough to stop. But Chazal identified the main one. It's interesting. The main one is not what the objective is. So it's an interesting thing, because you think the main one is the aggressive, okay? These are the two aggressive trends. But no. Really, what Chazal identified is that it's the egoistic is really the most powerful. Asher Amr Wilshoninu Nagbir. Svasenu Itano, Miyadon Lano. That's really the most powerful force in Lashon Hara. That's what they held. An interesting thing. So what does it mean, basically? What it means is that if you look around the world, you'll see that... Are they still going? Okay. You look around the world and see that is in society the, without a doubt, I don't think you have to be too much of a chacham to notice it, but without a doubt, that is the most powerful force. Because you see that people spend their lives only for that. They may not think so, but in fact they do. I mean, why does a successful businessman have to go into his office every day? Why does Bill Gates have to aggravate himself fighting with the government? And gets his stomach churning every day. The reason is, and you see over here I would say the following. Over here I would say, people don't understand gaiva. People don't understand. People think gaiva is the person who wants to lord it over others. That may be true, but I think there's something more sinister involved in gaiva. I think gaiva really is not so much the desire of the enjoyment of lording it over others. That I think perhaps a person will be able to control. But what it is the inability to face the pain of insignificance. You see? That is really, I mean, it's my own idea, but I think that that's true. That it's not so much that people look at a bald guy and say, look at that guy, who does he think he is? He's trying to show me that he's something. Yeah, I think that kind of an understanding makes you perhaps angry at the bald guy. But the truth of the matter is, I believe that the bald guy really is a pathetic figure. I think he's an individual who is, everything he does is to avoid a painful state because he's plagued with a sense of inferiority and insignificance, which is like a vacuum that he has to constantly fill. It's more, a Balgaiva is more the avoidance of pain than the running after pleasure. That's what I believe. It's a very, that is probably the most difficult thing for man. I mean, because you see, you look around, I mean, what are people doing? I mean, especially today, you can't give the excuse that you're just working for your needs. I mean, that has to be very expanded to believe that that's what everybody's doing. But basically, what people are doing really is they're trying to remove a certain pain from a sense of insignificance, which is satisfied momentarily or to a certain extent where the person either accumulates wealth or something, some unusual thing that brings him to the notice of other human beings. See, when other human beings notice him and give him recognition for some, whatever it might be, I don't care what it is, but that somehow soothes the pain of his insignificance. Then, of course, after that, he goes back, and then he starts feeling, sensing that pain, and then he has to get going again. He do something else again. And that's what causes, and that's why people can never understand, like they look at a very wealthy, successful businessman and say, well, why doesn't he just go fishing all day? Why is he going to business? Why is he going through all this trouble and this torture? But they don't realize that the reason why he's there is because he needs an injection to in order to compensate for that, the feeling of insignificance. And as you go along, you have to keep going further and further, because you can't, if you stay in a plateau, then that feeling comes back again. So the way to remove it is to move up again. And therefore I think people make a mistake when they see arrogance. They think that it's a trait that angers them. It angers them for other reasons. But if you really understand it, it's something which is pathetic. It really is. It's a painful state of man. And really, the only one that escapes is really the philosopher. I mean, the Talmud Chacham, because the Talmud Chacham, that's what I mentioned before, is out of that world, because that world is insignificant for him. He's in a different world. It doesn't matter to him. You see, but what Chazal are saying is, the Chazal are giving the remedy. A remedy for the Amoraites. It's not a wonderful remedy, because what they're telling him is that he has to live in that painful state. That's what it means, Yash Balatzma. What does Yash Balatzma mean? Just walk around and say I'm nothing? I mean, sometimes that could be the biggest guy. So what Chazal are telling the person who's not a Talmud Chacham is Yash Belatzmo means that he has to be, like Chazal say, Ma'od Ma'od Hevi Shval Ruach. See, what is the Lashon HaPasuk? The Selef B'Sheva Ruach. B'Sheva Ruach. See, what does Sheva Ruach mean? It means a broken spirit. What is a broken spirit? A broken spirit is a painful state. It means the person is in psychological pain. It's a broken spirit. Sheva Ruach. So Chazal was saying, if he's not a Talmud Chacham, the only other thing he could do is to be in that state of a Sheva Ruach, a broken down state where he constantly faces the pain of his own insignificance. But Chazal was saying, as painful as that is, he will have a better life than following that instinct. You see, and that's really the pasuk. Mi ho isha chafetz chayim, ohev yomim liros tov. Yitzor v'shon chomeiro, usfasecho midaber mirmo. What does the pasuk before say? You see that this is the whole Yiras Hashem is all tied, all perfection is tied in Lashon Hara, according to Lashon Hara. So he says, mi ho isha chafetz chayim, ohev yomim liros tov. What does it mean? It means that as long as the person is engaged in the instinctual world and can't remove himself, he will never live a day, because there's no such thing as real pleasure. The competitive instinct and the egoistic trends are constantly battering him, and there's no escape, and he doesn't live a day. He never lives one day for itself, for its own enjoyment, as long as he can't remove himself, because the instincts are a fooler, because the instincts are really looking for something from the past. And the substitute is never gonna work. So therefore, the guy is in a constant state of frustration. The only way is removal. So Chazal is saying the real way is through Torah. That's really Mi'o Isha Chofetz Chaim Oev Yom L'Restav. Total removal. But if the person cannot do that, then there's another way that will prevent them from being a Baal Lashon Hara. And to some extent, as painful as that is, it will still improve his life, because it'll free a certain amount of energy. See, a certain amount of energy is going to free. So, as painful as it is, it will still make him happier. And that's always the mistake that an individual makes. The mistake an individual makes is he always is convinced that if he follows the emotion, that then that the emotion is going to pay him back, that this is the root. You see, but that is a total, that idea is a total error. That idea is a total fallacy. That's why Chazal say that he's better off as a sheva ruach, because as a sheva ruach, it's true, he endures a certain painful condition. But on the whole, his life will be far better. In those moments when he's not a sheva ruach, he'll really be able to enjoy life. Whereas if he doesn't face that and he follows the enticements of the instincts, then I mean then he will not have a day of life. That's really that's basically what Chazal is saying. So there's one way out, which is a very positive and very enjoyable way. The other way is better than, far better than the Baal Lashonah, but it is painful. It is a painful thing. Sheva Ruach is not a pleasant thing. The person is a Sheva Ruach. But there's no choice. That's what Chazal said. Okay. In other words, I wouldn't say depressed. I would say depleted would be a more accurate term. Okay. I just want to add, no, you know, Ari asked me the question of, is the Talmud Chacham in Vanochi Yafa Vefer is also a depletion? No, it's not a depletion. See, Vanochi Yafa Vefer to us sounds like that. Avram Avinu, that was a wonderful feeling. He knew exactly what he was in reality. You see, it was not a sad statement for him. The Sheva Ruach is for the person that doesn't have the Chacham. Then he has to have a Sheva Ruach. There's no other way. Okay. All right. Let's take the Rama. All right. So I think I mentioned once before, but the Rambam, we went through this Rambam once before, Perek Shvi, in Hilchos Deis, talks about the whole area of Lashon Hara. Now, it's interesting that it's a question the Ramban raises, really, that Lashon Hara is not in the Torah. Because the case in the Torah is Hamaragel Bachavero, over below Sasser. Shenema lo selech rochel ba'mecha. V'yafki shen lokin al dover zeh oven gudelhu. The Gorim Le Laharog Nefashos Rabos Mi Israel. Lakach Nismach Level Osama Al Damriacha. So Osama Al Damriacha is not coincidentally next to Loselech Rachel, but it's there because it's really basically causes the same, it has the same effect. Say Lamad Ma'ira Ladoi Gadomi. Yeah, so what is the Rambam saying? I mean, over here the Rambam just explaining what the nature of Rechilus is, but there's something in what he's saying. So he's saying Rechilus is terrible because it causes Gorim Larog Lehoreg Nefashos Havim Yisrael. And he says, Seil Lamad Ma'ira Bedoeg Hadami. I mean, okay, so what is the Rambam saying, basically? What is the Rambam saying, man? Sounds like a Dabar Pashut. Yeah. What the Rambam is saying is like this. The Rambam is saying that there are certain, that's why it says Lo Sam Al Dam Riecho. It says right next to Lo Sam Al Riecho. It means to say that a person is chayev many times for effects which are not visible at first sight. But the effects are disguised in the action. But he's chayev because he didn't look into it. He didn't look into it. You see? That's what it means. So he says, Vafa pisha lo'ein lokin alav al-dovaze, ovon gudlhu, v'gorem le'horeg nefashos rabos mi'yisrael, l'kach nismach lo'vlo sam al-dam riecho. So he says, in other words, what he's saying is, it's basically, he's a murderer. Even though, on the surface, all he did was he spoke. So the activity is not associated by nature. The human intuition doesn't associate this with murder, but basically the pasuk put it right next to the law, Samal Adam Re'echa, to teach you that you're just as much a murderer. Because that's what it says, Seil Lamad, Ma'ira Bedoeg Hadomi. Seil Lamad, you have to look into it. But when you look into it, you'll see that this mice is just as treacherous, just as harmful as actually killing somebody. And that's what you're chayef for. Tara's machayev you for not thinking into the action. That's what the Ram is saying. Okay. Now, Ram continued. He says, Ezel Rachel, what is Rachel? Zeh shetoin varim vaholech mi zeh lazeh. V'omer kachom aploni, kach v'kach shomati aploni, afal pishu emes, hareza machrev es olam. Okay. Then he says in the same halacha, yesh ovon gadol mize ad ma'od, there's an oven that's even greater than this. He says, v'u b'chlal lav zeh, it's included in this lav. So the Rambam apparently found a place for it. It's subsumed under this lav. V'hu lashon hara. Okay. V'hu ha-mesaper b'gnus chavero af ha-pishal menas. So he speaks about the weaknesses of his friend, even though he's speaking the truth. Avol la'omer sheker nikra motzi shem ra'al chavero. So somehow or other he moves that one out of there, but it's kind of related. Avol ba'al lashon hara, ze she yoshe v'omer kach v'kach ha-saploni v'kach v'kach ha-yu avosa v'kach v'kach shamati olav v'omar dvorim shel gnai. Al ze omar kosev yachreis ad Hashem kol sifse chalokos loshem ad haberes gedolos. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, it's the system's a funny one. You have lo selech rochel, which is the major love. But then there's an affair which is even worse. The affair which is worse is subsumed under lo selech rochel. Okay? And then there's one which is somehow or other related, but it's not, doesn't seem to be the doesn't seem to be somehow or other. It's like a relative, like a cousin to the aver, but not exactly as bad. Even though it sounds like it's worse, because he's speaking. That's the case of where he's motzi shemra, where he's speaking lies. Okay, so let's take. So there's two questions we have to deal with. One is, the lav is does not, there's a something worse than the lo selech rochel, which is the lav. If it's worse, why isn't it the open lav? And the second question is, where does motzi shemra fit in? It would seem to be worse, and yet somehow or other it's better, because he says the Rambam seems to say avol omer sheken nikra motzi shemra. Avol, he says, baal lashon hara zeh she yoshev omer kach kach hasaploni. Al ze amar kosev yachres Hashem kol sifse chalokos loshem daberes. On this loshem daberes gavos. This is the one. Sounds like that's the real one. The pasuk is talking about that's chayev and kares, and that's really kares. There's a kares min haTorah, one type of kares, and then there's a kares min divrei nevi'im. Kares in the Torah, kares min divrei nevi'im. The difference essentially is that the kares in the Torah is a kares that's tied to the halachic breaking of a system. That's really, you see, the nichras mikal hakal. It means to say that he's broken the system, that which the kohol was makabal at Sinai, a certain responsibility, la'enei ha'amim, and he has broken this, so he's nichras min hakal. That's one type of kares. Everything in our system has a different category. The chorus midivrei neviim is a chorus which is imperfection. So like for instance, like the Rambam says by Hilchos Issur Rabbia, where the person lives with a goya. So in terms of the halacha, it's kind of light, but in terms of the personality, it's chorus. So it's chorus midivrei seferim, because he's medabek psychologically, he's identifying with Oved Avodah Zarah. In terms of his nefesh, in terms of his personal soul, he is worse than his nechras, his chayef kares. So the halachic system is structured, the taryag really, essentially, is a structure for klal yisrael, for the klal. And insofar as the yachid is, there the yachid is a participant in the system of Sinai. And if he removes himself from that system, then he's chayef kares. It's chayef kares, and nechras mitach hakal. It's a different type of a chi of karas. It's a different type. This one is a personal chi of karas. On a personal level. What's the karas midivrei neviim? Yachres ad Hashem kol sifse chalakas means he's chayev karas. On a personal level. Okay. Yeah, you can't say which one is worse. They're different. Okay. Now, it's interesting. So the lav of lo selech rochel ba mecha, really, now you can understand, based upon that idea, you can understand why the lav of lo selech rochel is the heading, is the major lav, and subsumed under that is what? Is lashon hara. Basically, that's the answer. What's the answer? Lo selech rechilus is when you go from one to the other, and you cause animosity. You say, this one said this about you, that one said, that's a person that likes to foment strife. He enjoys creating strife among people. So over there, you see, that means that's a person that destroys the system. He destroys the society. He's a destroyer of society. That's what Ram says, Reza Machrivas Olam. Machrivas Olam. So the love of the Torah, it's essential, the essential eye of the Torah is towards this system. Atem Tili Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, the Tayag is structured according to the system of the Ummah, creating the Ummah. So what is the most harmful? The most harmful, Machrivas Olam, is Rechilas. That is unique, because that causes strife among people. You say, this one said this about you, that one said that. So he causes divisiveness, and he destroys the society. That's why Lo Seilech Rochel is really the one that the Torah, that's the Lav Nidaraisa. Because the Torah's concern primarily is for Taryag in terms of the existence of the Ummah. This Ummah lives is essentially, its existence is totally tied to the system of Tayag. So the Tayag is, main view is the Ummah. So that's why Laseilech Rochel is the major heading. But, the Rambam says, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily the worst insofar as the individual soul is concerned. That's why he says, the Yesh Avon Gadol Ad Ma'od, Hu Bechlal Lav Zev, Hu Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara is really worse on an individual level insofar as the individual's imperfection is concerned, is much worse. Because over there, all the instinctual forces of the individual, the evil instinctual forces, are all summoned together and are really expressed through that Maisa. Through that Maisa. So the Maisa of Lashon Hara, where he degrades the other person, and by way of inference, he caters to his own superiority and destructive tendencies, sadistic tendencies, aggressive tendencies, and basically all the evil in man is and egoistic tendencies. All the evil in man is expressed through that. So that's the Ovon Gadol Ad Ma'od. The individual, he may be less destructive to society than a Rachel, but he's a balavera on a much worse, much higher level. That's why he says, that's why the Rambam says, Avo Baal Lashon Hara, he says, Amr Chacham, Shalosh Averes Nefram, and Adam Baal Amazev, and Lechok Rom Abba. Avar Es Kechavim, Gili Arayas, and Shvichas Domen. Avo Lashon Hara, Kenega Kulam. Okay? So the Baal Lashon Hara is Ein Lo Chelek Le'olam Abba. Okay. Now the question is, what happened to Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra. Okay, Motzi Shemra would seem on the surface to be worse, because he's not even telling the truth, he's lying. So it would seem to be worse. But on the contrary, apparently the Rambam decided that worse is Lashon Hara. Why is that worse? Okay, so one point I think we could make, and I think we made it last week, and that is that the Mirmah is where the intelligence is under the control of the instinct. That's Mirmah. That's why Tigger Munkel says Bechuchmasa. And I really wonder, when the Tigger Munkel says Bechuchmasa, it would seem to me that perhaps he used that, just like Avorcha, that why do you use the word Bechuchmasa in the case of Vayanu Bnei Yaakov es Shchem ves Chamo Ovev b'mirma vayedaberu. So he says b'chochmasa. You see, it really, yeah, it is. It's true that the element of chochma is always there in Ramos, because that's what Ramos is. It's taking chochma and subordinating to the instinctual. But it could be. I mean, it could be what he means over there is that it wasn't really because of the instinctual. It, over there was purely chochmasa. You see. Because over there, in that case, it was rational for them to do it. You see, it wasn't really a mirmah. So what Tirgum Unkelus is saying is that mirmah over here even though the Loshna Kosov is Mirma, it's not to be confused with the ordinary understanding of Mirma, because Mirma ordinarily means Chukmasa plus corruption. In other words, it's a corrupt kind, it's a corruption with Chachma. But in this case, it was only Chukmasa, you see. That's why I think the Tirgum uses that word. There's only one other case where you have the word Mirma. Where do you have it? Ba'achicha b'mirma v'yikach b'chasecha. And Tirgum Onkelos is the same thing, b'chochmasa. And the same reason applies. Because it was really over there also was because the Alpinavua was Alpinavua. So it wasn't really a chet. Yeah. But anyways, okay. But getting back to the main idea over here, yeah. So in other words, what Tirgum Onkelos is saying is that even though Yitzchak told Esav Ba'achicha b'mirma, the word that he used, Esav interpreted one way, but he meant another way. Because just saying, yeah. Because first he said Gam Ba'achicha. See, the pasuk says Vayechor Yitzchak Rodi Gdol Amod. So he said, the tenth of Rachel, Gambar Hia. Gambar Hia means he knew at that moment that the Ashgacha was that Yaakov was supposed to have the brachas, and he made a mistake all his life with Esau. That's why Yechra Yitzchak Harada Gedol Ad Ma'od. Because the Harada Gedol was that he saw suddenly that his whole life he made a mistake, and he didn't realize that his own son, who was with him all the time, was a Rosh Hagama. Gambar Hia. Then he said to him, Ba'achicha ben Mirma Vayikach Berchasecha. That was later. Why? Because he said it to him in his language, but he really meant it the true way. True way was b'chokhmasa. But he said it, he used the word that Esav interpreted to his own convenience. I mean, but there's only two times you have it. Okay, at any rate, so getting back to the Rambam, so the Mirma is the subordination of chokhma to evil. And that's why Motzi Shemra doesn't fit in. Because in Motzi Shemra, the person is in the world of fantasy. So he's lying, he's making up lies. The Chachma is not completely there. The way to destroy or to really destroy a person is not to say things about him that are not true, because sooner or later, it means you only do that if you're not really a chacham. The real chacham looks for things that are there and uses those things to destroy the other individual. The person that's the Motzi Shemra, he is an evil person, but it is not as evil. That's not the real evil. The real evil is to subordinate chachma to the instinctual. If he doesn't subordinate the chachma and he just talks, he make up lies about somebody. It means he's not thinking, he's just trying to scandalize. So that's a lack of chachma. So as long as the chachma has not been subordinated, it's an amazing thing. Over here, the more chachma, the worse. The more chachma, the worse. The greater, the more the use of chachma, and it makes sense, because the use of chachma, which was given to man to see in the flow of Hashem, if it's subordinated to use for use by the instincts, is really. Is really a total chilul of the instrument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man. It's more than just the Maisa. It really shows that the individual has no recognition, and he could use something which God gave man for Kedusha and for the highest level, and he doesn't hesitate to use this for the lowest, most vile objectives and purposes. That's the lowest level of man. Lowest level of another. Yeah. That's why the Tefillah Zakah, really, in Tefillah Zakah, there's one idea in Tefillah Zakah that runs through the whole Tefillah Zakah. It's a beautiful idea. And that is, the Rav used to always mention it. And that is that in Tefillah Zakah on Erev Yom Kippur, so he talks about the fact that the whole signal, I mean, the whole style there is, that he talks about Yekadosh Baruch Hu gave me hands and I use it for this, gave me eyes, and goes through the whole guf. What's the whole idea? The whole idea is that you're machalel person is machalel his guf. Machalel his guf. Because the purpose of the guf was designed for one purpose, and he's machal. The worst chilul is the chilul of the intellect. That's the worst. That's the worst of all. And that's really the baal lashon hara. The motzi shemra is not thinking. He's trying to destroy, but his mind is not. He's not collecting. He collects his thoughts. So that's not the same thing. That's not the same level. It's an interesting thing. You think just the opposite, but no. The chet is defined in terms, in different terms, and in the true terms, you can really see that it's a denial and a chilul, and it's a total corruption of what Adam is. It's corruption, the whole idea of what Adam is, basically. Okay. So I mean, the Shoshu verses, of course, are clear. Avos kachavim and gili rice and shrikas down. So it means that these three things destroy an individual, because in Shfichas Dam is where the aggressive instinct overpowers the whole human being, and in Gilei Arayis it's the sexual instinct, completely promiscuity, overpowers him, and in Avodah Zarah it is the distortion of the mind, and a completely, that is the worst of all, of course. And where the individual, and that's what I mentioned last week, the chet of Avodah Zarah is the most harmful idea, where the distortion of the individual's, what is placed in the universe, and the whole world is a completely distorted world. That's what it is. So it says, Lashon Hara is kineged kulam. It's kineged kulam. It's an interesting thing, because it has every one of the elements are there. Because somebody asked me last week, and maybe I didn't answer properly, but the reason why Avodah Zarah is there, we mentioned, because over there that they said, L'shoneinu nagber, ein adomano. It means that's where the egomania sets the individual up as the center of the universe, which is the same thing as Avodah Zarah. Except in Avodah Zarah, he projects certain fantasies of his mind onto reality in order to control reality. It's the same thing. That element you can see readily exists in Lashon Hara. And the Shvichas Damam, of course, is the aggressive and the inherently vicious instinct for its own sake. That's clear. But the Gili Arayis, it doesn't say it is Gili Arayis, it says Kineged Kulam. Because what it means is that the force in Gili Arayis, what is the unique feature of Gilei Arayis is the strength of the psychological energy. That's really Gilei Arayis. It is the overpowering of the libido. That's basically what it means. And what Chazal say is that in Lashon Hara you have the exact same phenomena. Exact same phenomena. May not be expressed physically, but internally it's the same force. It's the same force. So it has the dynamics are the same. The same dynamic force is there. It has the dynamics of the libido. That's basically what you're saying. Yeah. Yes. The Yesh Devarim Shehein Avak Lashon Hara. Probably is an area of the not too often investigated. What is a vak lashon hara? It's like this. Ketzad mi yomar l'ploni sheyia kamos shehuata. Who would tell the person that something nice? He's saying, if I could tell this guy to always be like this. Okay? O sheyomar shiskum l'ploni. Any rotz l'adia ma'ir ma'ir. I don't want to talk about him. Okay? Then he says, v'cholam asaper betovas chaveru b'fnei sonov. So he's interesting. He says, in other words, that if you're in a group and you know that there are many people in the group that are antagonistic, enemies of a certain individual, so a clever person could just start talking about the individual in a positive way. He knows for sure that the conversation is going to revolve around to the opposite type of description. Yeah. So that's that case. Yeah, that's what it means. It doesn't mean, a lot of people just think you just can't talk good about somebody. I mean, It's a good excuse not to say something else about something. But basically, what the Rambam interprets the Gemara, it doesn't mean that. Even though there's a certain element of truth, there are certain psychological truth. There also have to be careful. You have to be careful because a person might not be aware of why he wants to say something good about somebody. That's a strange phenomenon. So it could be that it's simply a translation from another psychological source of energy. That's translated to the good. But then, if that's the case, then pretty soon it may reassert itself in its original form. But that's something. That's a chazal. But the Ram says that's not the basic pshat is. It means you're not allowed to. That's something a person can be careful about. But the issue really is to be clever and to speak about somebody in a certain situation. You know that the conversation is going to revolve around to something which is destructive for the individual. So, and that's one. Then it's like this: v'cheina mesaper b'lashon hara derech tzchok v'derech kalas rosh kloma sheina medaber b'sina. Not talking; he's joking and jest. He covers it up because he's just jesting, or he really is just jesting. He's just okay, joking around. Who sheshlomo omar bechachmaso kemislaleya hayorezikin chitzim v'mavas. The omar lo mesachik on it. Okay, so mislaleya means like he's mishtata. He's joking around. But meantime, in joking, he's throwing spears. Okay. So what is the common denominator in all these things? I mean, it's interesting. It's all avak lashnara. All avak lashnara. Then he has one where he says v'chein. But all these, he seems to be... No, I'm sorry. V'chein, slowly. Avak lashnara is... V'chein amasapa lashnara, v'chein. There's two v'cheins. Okay? So v'chein starts from here, really. Amasapa der schok. Okay, so that's v'chein. But before that, how many cases do you have before that? Before that, he says, "Halavai, this guy should be like he should always be like this." That's one. Or he says, "I don't want to talk about it." Or he says, he talks in front of his enemies. He starts the conversation rolling. He may say something good, but he starts the conversation rolling. So those are the three cases of avak lashon hara. So how would we define avak lashon hara? In the first two cases. It means to say that he falls short. You see, he falls short in terms of his expression, because it's indirect, implication, right? In the third case, he doesn't even speak Lashon Hara. He's a gorim for Lashon Hara. Gram is a different thing. I didn't even do it. So it should be something less than the first two. Something less than the first two. You know what I mean? He goes, here is a gram. I'm only a grama. Grama bit of zark in his butter. But gram b'lashna is chayv about. Avak lashna. So it's a different thing. The Rambam's equating grama with partial maisa. I mean, let's put it that way. I have another question. Question is that it would seem to me that avak lashna hara should be really lashna hara. It's just lashna hara that's not specific. Okay, if I say about the guy, I say, I don't want to talk about him. So already you've expressed something bad about him. Or you say, Halavai should always be like this. So you're saying that you're implying he's not really a good person. I mean, so okay. So I didn't. What it was? I have to actually verbalize it. So I lacked in specification, but in verbalization, I mean, I did it. You see, one thing you see. Is that lashon hara is not an iser that's to be understood like under the halachic framework of maisa. That's why I said. I mean, it's the chait the navi says chayef karas. Navi says chayef karas because it's an imperfection. In the navi's framework, it's a different kind of a system than the halachic framework. It really lashon hara. Let's take the second question first. That it's only a grama. You see. That question of only a grumma would make sense if you're dealing in a technical halachic issue. So then I say the dibor of lashon hara is a mice of dibor, a kind of a dibor. That's how it's defined. Over here he said the opposite dibor. I result in lashon hara, so it's a grumma. You see, those categories are very good when you're dealing with when you're dealing with the technical maisa, halachic maisa. But over here, when you're dealing with imperfection, it's a different framework. It's a different framework. But what is the framework? Apparently, the framework is, you see, the framework is, let's say, for instance, if I cause lashon hara, I don't know, I bang my fist on the table. Somehow or other, due to that, cause lashon hara. Would that be avak lashon hara? Apparently not. Apparently not. So I'm not saying it's you're allowed to do that. But I mean, it's like the Chafetz Chaim used to say. The Chafetz Chaim used to say, you know, derech drush. When it says kipa apam hargu ish, so af means with a nose they kill somebody. So Chafetz Chaim say, how is that possible? He says, you go like this. So you talk about something. You go. It's good drush. So at any rate, the apparently lashon hara requires two things. Lashon hara requires dibur, but the content is not important. See, the dibur is important because that's the vehicle of the avera. It means asher amru l'shonenu nagbir. It's the vehicle, but the content is not significant. The content is that once you get into the content, then you get into a different area. What you need is it has to be the vehicle of lashon, and then you have the content. But there's no difference, basically, whether once the content has been compromised, you see, it doesn't matter how it's compromised. It doesn't matter if it's compromised because it's an incomplete content, or whether it's a groma, because it's not a halacha, which is a maisa. You can't use halacha categories over here. Because over here is the categories of the soul. It's a different kind of categories. So the categories over here are based upon the vehicle of expression, that's the dibur, and content plays a role. But once content is compromised, it doesn't matter whether it's compromised because it's incomplete, it's not specific, or whether it's compromised because there is no content, but it's a causative agent. It's causative. You see, over here, causative doesn't really make it any less. In groma ben ezekin and a mice and a zikin, so groma is a factor. Groma and malacha is a factor. But groma over here doesn't make any difference. Groma or mice, or groma or content in the mice does not make any difference. Because in terms of the important thing is that it was the vehicle of expression of dibur was employed. Now, what role does content play? What role does content play? You see, apparently the answer to that question is an extension of what we said before, basically. That if there's no content, so then the machshava is lacking. You see, if there's no content, he may just as much be trying to destroy the other individual, because his intention could be the same. So in other words, I don't want to talk about it. His intention is the same. But if there is no content, without a content, there is no thought. There's no chachma without a content. So avak lashon hara is basically where you have the vehicle of lashon without the content. And whether it's a cause or whether it's not a cause makes no difference, because this is not a technical mice. It makes no difference. This in terms of the soul and perfection, in the area of perfection, it makes no difference whatsoever. Whether it results through a cause or whether it's an incomplete cause. Okay. That would seem to be the definition of avak lashon hara. It means avak means the vehicle of dibur with a very, very, the content has been seriously reduced, compromised. Okay. Now then, what does he say? V'cheina mesaper b'loshnar. V'chein is already not the definition, but v'chein means it's going to be the same. Ha mesaper b'loshnar derech schok v'derech kalus rosh klomar she'eno medaber b'sino. Okay. Why is that? Why? So that he says is v'chein, even though it's not the definition. So now you can see. So why is that v'chein? Because there again, you have the same. Because over there, the chachma is lacking because it's derech schok. So it means the mind is not fully engaged. So you have the... No, he's joking around. He's not really... it means he's just, that's the case. He's really joking around. So it means the mind is not fully engaged. So the intention is still there, but the mind is not fully engaged. So that, he says, is v'chein. That would be equal to the other cases where the vehicle of dibor is being employed, but the mind, the mind is not really... has not really concentrated or defined, described the content. Okay. Now listen to the last one. What? Yeah, no, the aver is the same. It's going to come out equal. This is different, but it's equal. V'chein means it's different. It doesn't follow the definition of avak lashon hara, but it's the same. Okay. It could be. I mean, the intent is not complete. Yeah, but the intent is not complete, not because the energy is not there. It's because the mind is not there. Okay? In joking, the individual, when we say chachma, and I don't mean chachma clever, I mean chachma reality. In joking, you're off the reality principle. You're some, okay, yeah. So he says v'chein. Alright, now let's listen to the last one. The last one's like this. V'chein, he says, and this one's a hard one. Ha-mesaper lashon hara, another v'chein, ha-mesaper lashon hara derech ramos, v'hu she yesaper l'sumo, ki ilu eina yodeya she dover zeh, Shadibra Lashon Hara. Ella Kishimamchin Bo Omer Aini Odeya Shadovaza Lashon Hara. O Sha'elu Masov Shoploni. It's unbelievable. He says, Derech Ramos. Lashon Hara. Ramos in Lashon Hara. Vahu, this I don't really understand. She is Saper Lusumo. He speaks like he's innocently, sincerely trying to say something. As if he doesn't really know that this is Lashon Hara. When people object and they say, you know, hey, you know, you shouldn't be doing it, he says, oh, Omer, any Odeya Shadovaza Lashon Hara. Oh, She'elu Masov. I don't know. In other words, he disguises it. He disguises it, and he makes believe he doesn't know that this is Lashon Hara, or he doesn't know that this is what the person really did. You see, it's Lashon Hara Derech Ramos. So this one is disturbing. I mean, this would seem to be a very clever individual, even smarter than the regular Baal Lashon Hara. I mean, because it's Derech Ramos. But so he's kind of protecting himself, and he's accomplishing his goal. I mean, why is Lashon Hara Derech Ramos considered a Vak Lashon Hara? That's a difficult question. It means like you talk about a guy in a disparaging way about something that he did, and then somebody says, hey, you know, why are you saying about the guy? I say, oh, I didn't know he really did that. That kind of clinches it. Okay. In other words, it's a clever, what Ram means like this, in other words, it's a clever way of talking about something. You talk about a guy about something that it implies that he did it, but yet it's not clear whether he really did it or you're just talking about him. You know what I mean? So you can always back off and say, well, I didn't really mean it. I didn't think he did it. I was just, you know, just talking about somebody doing this. And I mentioned him, but I didn't really think he really did that. You see, I mean, okay. I don't want to give anybody any advice. I don't know if I have the whole answer to the question, but I would say that there's one thing, one element is lacking in this kind of a Lashon Hara. See, which element is lacking? The element is of Asher Omru L'Shonenu Nagbir. Okay? Sefaseinu Itano Mi Adamano. That's lacking. Guy can't say, there's no confidence in destroying the other person through verbalization. See, that's lacking. Because he's hedging, you know what I mean? He's hedging. So the Asher Amru L'Shonenu Nagbir is missing. Yeah. That's part of the answer. The rest I don't really know. But what I wanted to do was this, that it's an interesting thing, and maybe someday I want to get back to this on Sunday too. I think that we're talking about, you know, trying to understand or discover what a mitzvah is and how mitzvahs work. We were talking about that last Sunday. I get back to it, on this Sunday. But in the process, part of it, you see, is an amazing thing when you look the way Chazal understood the idea of negayim. Okay, nega. Because, you see, it's not drush when the Gemara says,